Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Playbook for Wednesday on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, in with us for the opening hour of the program today. And you at webradio at patriots.com. Toll-free telephone number 855-PATS-500. Hit me up on Twitter as well. I'm celebrating. We hit the 1900 mark at JR Broadcaster. Finally. Yes, thank you very much. It just 2K coming. 2K is on the way. 2K is on the way. I'll finally arrive in the 21st century in Twitter. How about that?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to warming up, John. Are you cold?
Are you cold in here?
I've been freezing the past two hours in this radio studio.
It's because they've still got the air on as opposed to any heat on, and we did have the temperature dip down into the 20s, where the wind chill last night here in New England was in the teens. And you got the...
Also doesn't help that a ceiling tile...
Yeah, ceiling tile is missing in the studio.
I can see all the way to the... Cement.
When are they taking the TV lights out of here from Paul and Andy's failed preseason experiment?
That.
I think you need to follow up because this it's where, you know,
is that what how that got askew up there in the other corner of the room?
Probably
because they started taking the TV lights out.
I want my TV back up over there.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's right. We don't have anything to look at on that side of the room, so it's very difficult for me to have any vantage point. I got to look over my shoulders here. You notice I said from Paul and Andy's failed preseason TV experiment, right? Thank you very much. Anybody like that, by the way? I'm going to be critical of us now.
I think they liked it.
Did they? Well, yeah, but I mean, the problem was is that you never heard from them enough. Seriously.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a problem,
they had no control over when they were brought in.
Right. It was awkward. It was just awkward. I understood what they were trying to do. It was just not very seamless.
No.
And it was, you know.
That was the first time they were doing it.
I understand that. But you probably could have had a little bit better.
Bugs to work out.
Probably could have had a little better director of traffic. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe next year they will.
Well, there's always next year, right? All right. So I haven't been able to find out a heck of a lot about Christensen passing away. Do we understand? Todd Christensen. What the heck happened? Do we know?
We don't. It kind of happened in the last couple of hours when we were on PFW in progress, but not much information that we can gather about what caused it or if he'd been ill. I haven't really had a chance to look since we've been on the
air. Just trying to find the latest here as well, and I don't even X-Raiders Christensen dies. Just says died
57 years old.
57 years old. Went to BYU.
Yeah, we knew that.
Played for BYU in the mid-70s.
Salt Lake Tribune reported that liver disease. Liver disease.
Hmm. That could be anything, right?
Yeah.
Liver disease.
I mean, you know, you can get liver disease from, you know, too much drinking. Alcohol.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I don't know if steroids have anything to do with
honestly,
that?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, you know that era player.
It's something you have to consider with.
You have to at least consider it because
team, that era.
Yeah, because guys back then. I mean, Lyle Alzado is a perfect example of that. He played in that era as well for the Broncos for a number of years, and I know a lot of older fans remember that name. And he died from brain cancer, and he always said publicly that he thought his taking anabolic steroids led to his brain cancer.
Yeah, he was very open about that before
he passed away. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to cast any aspersions toward Christensen, but I think it's significant to
something
note.
That crosses your mind, though.
Yes, because he did lead the NFL in receptions in twice back in the 1980s. He was kind of the first great tight end I ever remember playing in the league as someone who's followed it for a number of years was John Mackey. National Collegiate Tight End Player of the Year is named after John Mackey, the old Baltimore Colts. After that, I think you could probably come up with a few other names of tight ends that you consider, you know, Hall of Fame / caliber, great caliber players. Billy Joe Dupree, Mike Ditka, from the Cowboys in particular. Obviously, they have one now in Jason Witten, who's going to be a Hall of Famer at some point. Other tight ends.
Do you think he is?
You think Jason Witten? He's been dominant for a number of years. He holds
more
the
so
record.
Than Ben Coates, who's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I would say he's right there. The difference between Coates and Witten is that Coates obviously did a little more winning, but Witten holds the tight end reception record for a season. Caught 110 just 2 years ago
right.
or last year.
Yeah.
Hell, it was last year. And now you could say that's a byproduct, I think, of the offense, which the Cowboys try to run, and they can't stop anybody. But at the same time, though, I think Witten's been doing it at a pretty high level for a number of years.
Okay. I just throw that you know, Ben Coates is still not in the Hall of Fame.
Ozzie Newsome, there's another one. I just popped into my head. Was a great tight end for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably come up with a good solid half a dozen or more. And I would, while I wouldn't call Christensen
old. What do you consider Russ Francis?
Yeah, there's another one, Russ Francis. Russ All-World Francis, absolutely. That's a great example of a great tight end from that era. Yes, precisely, 1970s, early to mid-1980s,
yeah.
Yes. Russ Francis, of course. Anyway, I bring that up only because it's significant he played in that era. I mean, he played from 74 to 77. At BYU, so that only makes him just a little bit older than I am. So it's always a little disconcerting when you see somebody who's in your age bracket, roughly, that's passing away from liver disease, heart disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever it ended up might being. But at any rate, he retired after 88, so that was, he actually played the first year that I was up here in New England, 1988. Christensen was still playing.
Yeah. I mean, it's when an athlete dies that relatively young age, red flags go off in my mind all the time.
James Lofton?
Of something other than, you know, a car accident or
right.
whatever.
I agree. James Lofton was a teammate of his, you know, so, and obviously Lofton was a pretty good wide receiver.
Yeah.
Christensen ended up working TV games, you might recall,
yeah,
I believe,
good.
For NBC
he
for a while
good.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
And he actually was a pretty decent analyst
I
as far
so.
As a, an ex-athlete is concerned,
I
right?
I thought so, yeah. Very well spoken, knew what he was talking about. I thought he did.
Did some stuff on ESPN,
yeah.
some stuff on CBS. I think for a while he did some college sports as well. It's just a little bit of a shock. So that came about over the course of the last couple of hours. It kind of brings to mind, though, because to me, Christensen was the kind of guy as a tight end that actually, when you think about it, you're trying to think of guys that maybe Rob Gronkowski reminds you of. He would have been sort of in that mold, a guy that was willing to go basically all out. A guy that certainly seemed to be ultra energetic while he was out on the field. A guy that might have had a bit of an edge to him off the field. Now, I'm not trying to compare them directly, but I'm just saying that style of player.
Mm.
That style of player. Sort of a go-to guy that I think the Raiders depend upon for a long, long time. You could always depend on Todd Christensen. He was that kind of guy. At least to my way of thinking for a number of years. All right, so anyway, wanted to pass that along as a bit of news that happened within the NFL today.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of brings to mind question of the day that I have for our fans today listening in. I really kind of think that as we now have gotten into the second half of the season, what's one of the constants, Eric, that we've been talking about really that you know when you get to this point in the season? The fact is that you kind of know who you are. You're not going to probably be appreciably better. You're probably not going to be appreciably worse. If anything, the Patriots do get better from here because we know of their 24-1 record over the last how many years now?
12, 13.
Well, what they've been in the month of November and December.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at 4-8 times over the last, how many years is it? The last 3 or 4 years anyway, they've been like 24-1 in the month of December,
November and December. Yeah.
So you could certainly make an argument for the Patriots having gotten better once they've reached the midway point, at least recently. Only to kind of stumble once the postseason actually begins. And I know a lot of people that probably trade a few L's in that part of the regular season
Absolutely.
For a little further along. I mean, there have been two Super Bowl losses since the last win. That notwithstanding, we do kind of have a feeling, I believe, what the Patriots are for 2013. I think the conclusion, at least in my estimation, is that this is going to be an incomplete team, that I'm not sure we're going to really see the full potential at any point in time of what this team could have been this year. You're getting back some pieces to the puzzle now.
Yeah.
From especially on the offensive side of the ball that you did not have early in the year during most of the struggles. So that certainly bodes well. But you're never going to be able to match up the offensive weaponry that now seems to be coming back into play with what you thought was going to be a vastly improved defense. And at the early stage of the season, the proof was in the pudding. The proof was in the performance. We saw that. But you don't have Will Fork. You don't have Mayo. You're not going to have either one of them. You don't have Kelly.
Right. And still, they're not a bad defense. They're not as bad a defense as they have been in the past, in the recent past.
There are two reasons for that. Number one, they have made some gains in the secondary. There have been some palpable gains made in the secondary.
And they're getting
a pass rush.
A consistent pass rush.
Right. As far as defending the run, that's where you can say it's inconsistent because they've lost three huge pieces to that particular puzzle.
Yep.
That they've tried to sort of stop gap a bit with bringing in Sopoaga, you know, and moving in Hightower and hopefully getting some of the others involved there. And it's incomplete, to say the least.
Yep.
But you have seen that this team has been able to generate more of a pass rush, and they seem to be covering better in the secondary.
Yeah.
Now, to that end, all right, so we've seen where we think this team is going to be. It's going to be incomplete based on upon what we hoped the entire picture would bring us before the season started. You're just not going to get the three injured guys on the defensive side of the ball back. So my question today is, who is a difference maker on this team going forward? What one player on this New England Patriots team, it could be offense or defense, what one player right now, though, is going to be, can be, either in a positive or a negative sense, a difference maker for New England going forward this year? We already know what the constants are. But who, in your estimation, will be the difference maker for New England over these last 7 weeks of the regular season that could help perhaps get the Patriots to the promised land where they want to go? All right, that's what I want you to kind of think about right now. One player on this team, currently on this team, in your estimation, that can be a difference maker either positively or negatively for the Patriots over the final 7 weeks. Webradio at patriots.com, the email address, toll-free phone number as well, 855-PATS 500 or Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Do hit me up on Twitter at JR Broadcaster. Also hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name. Difference makers is what we're looking for here today. Someone that may or may not already be in a position to exert their influence, but you think, based on the schedule, based on the injuries, based on the makeup of this team, which is why I brought that up to begin with, mm-hmm. based on the makeup of this team right now, as of today, which is November the 13th, 2013, based on today, that you think will be a difference maker, either positively or negatively, moving forward over these last 7 weeks?
A couple that come to mind.
Sure. I've got one on the top of my list, too.
The first one, I think, is Soapy.
Yep.
Isaac Sopoaga.
Mm-hmm.
When we saw him in his one game before the bye, they were putting him in strictly as a 3-4 nose tackle. And I wonder if that was just because they had just gotten there 3-4 days earlier. There wasn't much time to see if he could do things in their regular 4-3 scheme. And they said, you know what, for now, this is what you know. This is what you're good at. We'll adjust to you mm-hmm. for this one game and put in a package of plays for him. I wonder now whether or not they'll have more flexibility with him now that they've had a couple of weeks and maybe he's been able to absorb more of the defense, and whether or not we'll just see him in those type of alignments or whether or not he'll be back incorporated into the more of the 4-3 look, or you know how they'll use him going forward. But
okay.
I liked what I saw in that one appearance as a run stuffer.
So
I
in
think
other
he
words,
made a little bit of a difference.
Even though the returns are relatively early, fact remains that you see that Sopoaga could end up being a difference maker before all is said and done.
Possibly, here. Because I think the big problem when Will Fork, Kelly, Mayo went down for the season was the vulnerability against the run. And if he can helps you know stanch the bleeding there a little bit, I think that's a huge difference, especially this time of year when You're trying to run the ball effectively on offense and stop the run on defense as the weather gets colder and the weather plays more of a factor in these important games down the stretch. So on defense, I think he can be a difference maker, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And on offense, I think it's possible Shane Vereen could be if he comes back healthy and stays on the field. He could help out that running game, not just as a runner, but as a pass catcher out of the backfield that they really don't have and haven't been able to use that much since he's been out.
I would certainly agree with you about Vereen. It's not that I don't think Sopaga can be a difference maker, but my number one thought on the defensive side of the ball sort of leads into what he could bring about. And at least for me, the difference maker is Aqib Talib. And the reason that I put Talib in there is because he can be and is the Patriots' shutdown ability at corner. Because of that, then my guess is that if he's able to play and be effective, given what the schedule is, there aren't going to be too many huge matchups for him that are out there. There'll be a few, but there should certainly be the opportunity for him to go man up with a lot of players where he won't need a lot of help over the top. And because of that, then I think the Patriots themselves, with what they have currently already in the box, can concentrate on perhaps plugging those gaps in the middle. That's why I think without him, I still think people are going to absolutely attack over the top. With him, then I think they're going to try to go where they perceive the Patriots' weakness or Achilles' heel to be, which would be up the middle. So, in other words, I kind of think that you can predict what's coming a little bit more. If you know that you've got a stopper back there in the secondary in Talib, you're going to force teams to play into your game plan. And so you should be able to anticipate better how a team is going to match up against you if you know that you have a proven commodity in the defensive backfield. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do.
So that's why I kind of put Talib up at the top of my list, that I really think that he can be the difference maker for this entire team over the course of the next 7 weeks, provided he's back in there and he's healthy and he can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that's a lot of ifs, and I think we all realize that, okay, just because, let's say he comes back this week, just because he comes back, just because potentially Shane Vereen comes back, just because now we have, Sopaga in there, filling the gap, just because we have Amendola, just because we have Gronk, just because we have all these guys that are back, doesn't mean they're going to stay healthy. 7 weeks is plenty of time to get hurt again. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Knock on formica.
Lock can happen.
Yep. So all I'm saying is you can't necessarily breathe a sigh of relief, but in a perfect world, knowing what you've already lost defensively, who can really be the difference maker for this team beyond where you currently see it? Again, we're just past the halfway point of the season. By this point, we've always maintained that you kind of have a feel for how a team is going to be, what a team is, and what a team should be by the end of the season. You give yourself up to about the halfway point of the season for a team to kind of figure itself out. And we figured out what the Patriots are. They're still eminently capable on offense, and we saw that from the last game against Pittsburgh. We know that they're getting healthier pieces to the puzzle back in return, so it stands to reason that there is every chance for some continued improvement on that side of the ball. What we don't know, the X factor here, is how effective you can really be on defense when you know as the weather gets colder, it usually, this is why defenses win championships. That adage still holds true. And even if you have two offensive juggernauts reach the ultimate game, whichever team has the better defense is usually the one that's going to end up being champion. Certainly having that way with Baltimore last year.
Yeah, and in you could even say in the two Super Bowls that New England lost.
Yeah, defenses, team with a better defense ended up winning.
Yeah. Because the offenses didn't show up
right
for New England in those games.
Defense, in other words, while defense wins championships is sort of a well-worn, overused cliche. If there's such thing as a trite cliche, that would be it. But that's what it is. Defense wins championships.
Yeah.
Defense, I should say now, influences championships. I think that would be a more accurate assessment in the present day and age here in 2013. And it has been that way, I think, for the better part of the last decade and a half to 20 years in the NFL. since we've seen the advent of run and shoot and, mm-hmm. and spread and five wide and the quote-unquote West Coast offense, whatever the hell that means, really.
Yep.
I think since teams have spread it out more, defense still influences championships. You agreeing, disagreeing? What do you think?
Sure, because I would say offense got the Patriots to those two Super Bowls, but defense influenced the outcome.
Uh-huh.
You know, they wouldn't have been. They didn't get there on the strength of their defense.
No.
They got there because of their offenses.
Right.
But the defense is certainly in that one game, the game that counted the most. The defenses were the deciding factors. So you're right.
All right. So if defense influences championships, it stands to reason that if the Patriots have a difference maker on this team, not only, should come, but it probably will come from that side of the ball. Again, it's the defense now that is perceived to be behind the eight ball when you look at the New England Patriots for this year, as we've arrived to the second half of the season. Knowing as well how productive the Patriots have been over the last three Novembers and Decembers as well. Again, the combined record, I think, is 24-1. Then in that case, it's going to be about stopping people. We started talking briefly about this yesterday. It was something that I kind of wanted to pick up on today. After Carolina next Monday, then you have obviously the big game with Denver here.
Yep.
And that'll be a Sunday night extravaganza.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have at Houston.
Right.
You have Cleveland here.
Yep.
You have at Miami. You have at Baltimore. And then Buffalo here.
Yeah.
To round out the regular season.
Yeah. If you can get by these next two games, you're in. And without any major losses,
you ought to be in decent shape.
You should be in pretty
which
decent
is why we said split these next two. 12-4 is certainly within reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep, they go 5-2 down the stretch here, yeah.
5-2 down the stretch, I think, is certainly a possibility. 12-4 would definitely get you the division title.
Yeah.
Because the Jets would have to win out in order to match that,
yeah.
Number one.
If you split these next two games, you could certainly lose another one down the line. You know, the Browns have been playing people tough. The Ravens are still, I think, a tough matchup. You could lose a division game to the Dolphins at that point. It's in Miami.
Yep.
There's always, you know, it's not an easy win down there ever. So, yeah, I think it's possible.
Does that make you want to backtrack any on your original prediction?
We pick them week by week here. We pick them the way they play them, week to week.
Naturally. Well, even though my backtrack prediction of 11-5 is still not looking very good right now, because they'd have to do some serious stumbling to go 11-5 right now.
Yeah, they would.
That's 4-3 down the stretch, and
that would be almost out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not. I would certainly say that, because you certainly could lose these next two.
And
you could certainly lose at the Ravens of all of those.
Yeah.
So nothing's a given.
No.
It could still happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd have to say, based on the learning curve that we've seen over the course of the last few weeks, that it's kind of like, all right, well, this is turning out a little bit better than maybe we thought. Even with some of the hiccups that they've had on offense, they've still managed to win seven games.
Yeah. And again, teams around the league are falling apart, too.
That's the other huge issue. You know,
teams
not
on
their
schedule are falling apart.
Not only do you have to consider the Patriots' injuries, as we are, and talking about difference makers here, but look at the opponents they have left on the schedule.
Right.
I mean, really, the ultimate important game for Denver is this week against Kansas City. Forget the fact that, you know, Patriots fans are already, you know, foaming at the mouth for the game against Denver, you know, a week from this Sunday. Forget that. Denver's priority has got to beat Kansas City this week.
Oh, hell yeah. And to get Peyton Manning healthier.
Well, that's the other issue. I mean, are we even going to see Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I think the ESPN scroll is saying he's playing. MRI showed no further damage.
Well, that's good as long as he keeps himself healthy this week. That's the big
thing.
But
who knows what could happen during that game.
You think that would knock a little luster off of that primetime performance?
Yeah, it's already.
That'd be like the air let out of a balloon.
Yeah, and it would also be par for the course for what's happened to Patriots opponents this season.
Yep. But you still got to go play the games, no matter where you are, and no matter who you're facing. And if the Patriots were to, you know, and the Patriots have had, you know, significant IR injuries themselves, three of them on the defensive side of the ball, as we've certainly well documented here, nobody's crying for New England because, you know, they don't have, you know, Will Fork, Mayo, or Kelly.
No. No, no, you're not going to get any sympathy from anybody.
Right. All right, so here you go. Again, difference maker. That's what we're looking for today. Your difference maker on this New England Patriots team for the final 7 weeks of the season. Offense, defense, special teams, what have you. Maybe a coaching move, maybe a thought to that. Difference maker. Who, in your estimation, is the difference maker? Webradio@patriots.com, the email address. The toll-free line, phone-wise, 855-PATS-500. And by the way, phones were dead yesterday. And right. I don't know if it's because we're coming off the bye week and we didn't really have a whole lot to talk about. But, you know, nobody wants to talk about the team right now. Everybody thinks we're good, I guess. Everybody wants to think that we're in great shape at 7-2. Everybody wants to think that it's a fait accompli. I guess the Patriots are going to win a 11th division flag in 13 years or whatever it's going to be. I mean,
they might.
You know, is that really the case?
They might.
See, that's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah,
you don't need a fan base that's complacent. You ask your team to not get complacent at this point in time, and yet you yourself are complacent because you are confident that this team is going to win and win out over the course of the final 7 weeks. So you are making the same mistake that you are asking your football team not to make. Shame on you. 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. All right, let's give everybody a chance now to pin their thoughts or decide which way they want to come at us here with their difference makers for the Patriots over the final 7 weeks of this season. We'll get in a timeout. We'll come back and continue with more right here. Patriots Playbook on a Wednesday.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
And the toll-free line, 855-PATS-500, here on a Wednesday in the playbook. John Rook with the PFW's Eric Scalavino. We're talking difference makers for this football team over the course of the final 7 weeks. Name one player, Patriots fans. One player on either side of the ball, special teams, coaching staff, it doesn't matter. One person in this organization who you think will be, can be, should be a difference maker for New England over these last 7 weeks, either in a positive or a negative sense. We've given you a few suggestions, and now it's kind of up to you to sort of take the ball and run with it and give us your thoughts on where you think the difference might be. Now, I will allow for the fact that a difference maker, a potential difference maker for this team, and I guess it's subject to opinion, of course, may not yet be on this roster, because we had a lot of conversation yesterday after the Houston Texans announced that they were going to cut Ed Reed. And the deadline for him to pass through waivers is at approximately an hour and 17 minutes from now.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts, Big E?
I would take Ed Reed if he would agree to play a role on this team. Not to come in and expect the...
To be the starter, to be the man,
Pro Bowl,
to be the...
starting,
yeah, right.
Playmaking Ed Reed that we were used to seeing in Baltimore all those years.
Mm-hmm.
If he's willing to come in and accept that he's a backup and in a rotational basis can get out on the field, then sure. But from what I've seen of Ed Reed lately, he's certainly not anywhere near the type of player that he was in the middle of his career or even 2 or 3 years ago. But given the... given the depth that they currently have there, I think he would be. I think he could improve.
There's no question
the roster there.
If he would agree to accepting that role.
Right. Now, if he comes here and wants to, you know, gripe about not being on the field like he had in the last two stops, that's not going to be helpful. But if he comes here and accepts, you're on a winning team now, or team with a winning record, and you have a chance to maybe win another Super Bowl. If you play by our rules, then sure, I'd be willing to take it on.
I think from a leadership standpoint, knowing that there's already that mutual admiration society, as I said yesterday, going on between himself and Bill Belichick, that I think Belichick likes his ability to lead by example. I think Ed Reed respects Belichick enough to the point where I don't think he would probably certainly go out on a limb and say the things that he, like he said on his way out of town in Houston a couple of days ago. But you're right. It's all about, you know, okay, Ed, we're kind of set here, but if you want to come in and get, you know, 20, 25 snaps a game, you know, provide us with some assistance, not dissimilar to, you know, the role that he had in Houston when he was basically used in, you know, nickel and mostly dime packages from what I understand in Houston, you know, that, you know, okay, we'd really like to have your veteran presence in the clubhouse. We have a relatively young defense, you know, especially with our two tackles that are up there now. And we'd really like to have, you know, some of your influence back there. And frankly, you know, you have a chance now to assert yourself one more time because it didn't go well for you in Houston. Let's make no mistake about that. Did not go well for you. If you feel like you still got life left in the legs, here's your chance to prove it.
I just
challenge him that way.
Sure. It just seems to me like he's been held together with glue and duct tape and string. He doesn't seem like he seems like a player that's just, every time he's out on the field, he looks like he's falling apart. So I don't know how much he really has left. But again,
I think the game has taken its toll on him.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And he played physically for a long time. And given all that, I look at the roster at safety and he would still help out, I think. He would still help out, even with his banged-up body the way it is. So if he clears waivers, I'd be interested.
Question is, because Belichick was asked about it, what, twice today?
Yeah.
Question is, are the Patriots interested? What's your best guess here?
I say they have to be, especially if he clears waivers. I don't think they would.
Especially with Steve Gregory's
I'm not even
situation
so sure.
in doubt?
I don't even think it's that. I don't think that's much of a factor. I mean, if Gregory were completely healthy, I think it would be they have
still?
The same level of interest if Gregory were healthy. Yeah, because you have McCourty and Gregory are your starters, right? Behind them you have Daron Harmon, who's played adequately. I think he's progressed this year. I don't have many complaints with him.
No.
Minor gripes, but nothing major. And you have Tavon Wilson, who's horrible, and Nate Ebner, who never plays, except on
special
teams. Right, but he never plays safety. And when he did last year, results were terrible. So, yeah, I would take Ed Reed as a role-playing backup to add more depth and add to my comfort level.
If Gregory is out for another 2 or 3 weeks, as has been suggested he could be with the broken thumb before he actually returns, do you move Reed in immediately or do you elevate Harmon?
I would elevate Harmon at this point and let Reed slowly work his way in. Because I don't know if Reed is ready or capable physically at this point to step in and be a starter and do those things. Plus,
you'd have to say though, just on the paper, if you had, you know, Dennard and Tlaib at corner and Reed and McCourty at safety, that's actually pretty formidable.
Yeah,
you just look at
paper,
it on paper.
On paper, yeah, sure. But I'm more concerned with reality than paper.
Understood.
So
We all should be.
What I've seen.
We all should be. But on paper, that's a pretty doggone good secondary.
Sure, sure. So, yeah, that's so even if Gregory were still healthy at this point, I think they'd have the same amount of interest in Ed Reed.
Interesting. All right. Is he a potential difference maker for you? If you didn't get a chance to sound off on this yesterday, should the Patriots pull the trigger on this deal in the next hour? Well, as soon as he's got to clear waivers first.
Mm-hmm.
So if he clears waivers, which means he would have gone through all of the other 31 teams in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
That means that everybody passed on him.
Everyone had a chance to pick
everybody
him up.
Everybody had a chance to pick up, or at least the 27, I guess, that would be above New England passed on him more specifically. Mm. Patriots could have put in a claim at 28.
Mm.
And that is where they are, I think, in this pecking order, correct?
Well, yeah, because Chiefs are undefeated.
Chiefs.
Seattle and Denver. Denver are one loss, and New England is two losses. So, yeah, 28, 27.
28, 29, yeah. So maybe 29. So maybe 28 teams would have to pass first, based on how they would break it down as of today's standings.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, you're still looking at 27 to 28 teams having to say no thanks first. Before the Patriots have a shot, then they could put in that claim right down there at the end of it all and pick him up for the song and a dance, which
mm-hmm.
would be roughly $400,000 and I think something like, what, $60,000 a week or
something
whatever.
Like that, yeah,
yeah, something like that. So that's chump change compared to, you know, what a veteran certainly would bring with his stature, in the overall, scheme of the NFL. All right. 855, Pat's 500. Let's go to the phones. Here's Dave in Connecticut. Hi, Dave. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John, once again, you guys are on fire this week with the questions. I mean, awesome week for you guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you one offense, one defense. I'm going to jump on your bandwagon and definitely say Kareem on defense.
Yep.
You know, if he comes back healthy, you have that shutdown corner, and it just helps your entire defense. I mean, it's going to help the run defense because, you know, he shuts down that whole side. So, you know, definitely Kareem on D, you know, for the next 7 weeks. You can even go back to the AFC Championship game, and you saw the difference on defense when he, you know, he was only in for a little bit, and you know, you could see the difference once he was out.
Yep.
On offense, here's a curve for you. I'm going with Dobson. Okay, I really have seen in the last couple of weeks that Brady is, you know, starting to click with him, and I think if Dobson continues to improve, okay, and that's a big if, that he can be that outside presence that we've been lacking, and he can be that difference maker. You know, I mean, added with all your, you know, usual suspects there, like you said, Vereen, Gronkowski, of course, Brady. But, you know, I think that added outside presence, if Dobson can, you know, build on what he's done in the last couple of weeks, you know, for the next 7 weeks, I really think he'd be that difference maker that we need on offense.
Interesting. What do you think, E? You like Aaron Dobson as a choice on offense?
It's not bad. It's not bad. If he continues to develop and can make plays the way he has, yeah, that's not bad. Not a bad one, Dave.
Yeah,
add another element to the offense that's
been missing.
Well,
certainly add an element that has not been, shall we say, at least consistent.
Been there since Randy Moss.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, here's a question for you two guys. Just to change the subject really quick. With Chris Jones, I know he leads all rookies with sacks. What do you think his chances are if he continues to play the way he's been playing to be Defensive Rookie of the Year? I know you get that guy from Buffalo, that linebacker, who's
Kiko
had a
Alonso.
Heck of a season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to take a closer look at it. I honestly think just from the sheer number of repetitions that he gets, it probably would keep him because he's in a kind of a rotating situation.
Right, right.
Well, he actually plays a lot more snaps than you think. He's on the field almost the entire game.
Is he?
Yeah.
I only thought he was about half.
No, he plays a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but he is leading all rookies in sacks, too. I know
right,
that.
Right, right. He would really have to keep up that pace. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you told me like today, Dave, that he's got what, 5.5 sacks, I think it is right now?
5.5, yeah.
5.5, okay. If you told me that he doubled that and finished the year with 11 sacks, is it 6 sacks? Did they give him
another half
sack? I think you're right. So if he doubles that over the next 7 games, let's say he comes up with 6 more sacks over the next 7 games and ends up with 12, I'd say he'd have a shot.
Yeah.
He'd have a shot.
Yeah, okay? At this point, I think you have to consider him. in that mix.
You could consider him in that mix, especially if he's a regular part of the rotation.
Oh, yeah.
That if he's getting, let's say, on average, if you've got an average of 75 defensive snaps a game, if he's in there for 50-plus of those snaps per game, then he would certainly be considered a full-time player and not just a quote-unquote part-time or, you know, sub-package player. Then, yeah, I think you could probably consider it.
Mm-hmm. Regardless, I think he's been a very pleasant surprise for us. You know?
Oh, I mean, sure.
You know, I know that Belichick was looking at him, and he tried to get him off waivers a couple of times, and I'm glad he finally was able to, you know?
Well, he's certainly been one of the bright spots. There's no question about it. He's also a nice kid. He's just a nice kid. When you talk to him, he's very polite. He's very proper. He's friendly. He's got a good personality. He's the kind of guy that you want on your team because
he seems like, as a fan watching him play, he has that hustle that you want. You know, he has that extra effort. You know, to get those sacks sometimes where he doesn't quit on the play.
Well, that's true. And I think that's the mark of any good player. But what really, I think, separated him from, you know, an ordinary player, that makes him potentially extraordinary, is the fact that when it came down to the whole, you know, pushing penalty against the Jets, and he manned up without really having to take that because he was only doing what he was told to do. But rather than say, well, I only did what I was told to do, he said, that's my fault. He never couched it. He always said, no, that's my fault. I'll accept the blame. Mm-hmm. He never said, well, I'm just doing what the coaches told me to do. He could have deflected it that way.
Of course, he might have been doing what the coaches told him to do by taking the blame.
He might have been, but the fact is, he did. He did.
He manned up
and he took it. And to me, that was very impressive. Because I don't think you see that. No, yes. That's exactly right, Dave. That shows strong character, and you just don't see enough of that these days.
And here's one my final thing here is, guys, I love Gronkowski. I love him to death, and I think he's all-world tight end. He's really going to grow up a little bit. I mean, I was reading he got in some, you know, they handed him a mic somewhere, and it's almost like, you know, they're waiting for him to do something corny.
Right. Well, of course, he's being baited into things. That's the problem.
Yeah, and he doesn't say no.
And he doesn't say no to these things because he's an easygoing, fun-loving, gregarious guy.
Yeah.
And then he's only going out there and being himself.
Yeah.
And then someone's going to have a camera phone rolling, and they're going to catch him saying something somewhat questionable that, you know, if you take it the wrong way, it makes him look bad. It could shed a negative light on him, the team, the organization. And that's why you have his family out there getting people to sign waivers now for any camera phone video because, frankly, they can't trust anybody. He's being baited by all these losers that are out there.
You know, and I think, like, I mean, you know, I think he, you know, it's going to come to a point where he's going to be a little media shy. I hate to say it.
No, that point's already arrived. He needs to learn to say no. That's the problem. Or, better yet, he needs to just, he doesn't have to say no. He can say, well, my agent handles all of that. And he should make everybody go through his agent because if you go through the agency, that can tend to be a pain in the butt. If you've ever had to go through agents to get to somebody. And usually most of the people who don't give a crap, they give up. The people who really want you, they stay with it. And those are the ones that you should be paying attention to anyway.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's almost like, and I think his family, not to disrespect the family, but it's almost like they're living on his coattails, you know?
Well, I don't know if it's that so much as I think they're trying to make sure that they're looking out for his best interest because they know he's an easygoing, fun-loving kid, and people are trying to take advantage of him. So I don't think honestly, it's a two-way street. People are trying to take advantage of him.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, I think that as a Patriot fan, you know, as a diehard, I would much rather see him do his talking on the field.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
He's a beast. He's an all-world tight end.
No doubt about that.
I don't think he means any harm. I really don't.
No, I don't think so.
I just think he's having fun, and he's a little, maybe a little immature, but I don't think he's doing it maliciously.
No, I don't think so. Dave, thank you. Here's Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
You said who I think would be...
Difference maker. Yep.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Steven Ridley. Of course we know what Keith Talib is. We know what he can do. But Steven Ridley, I think he has to, be that difference maker to where he's being consistent with the running game and not putting the ball on the ground. I think think if we keep that going, that'll help us a long way in the playoffs, and hopefully we can get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I kind of like your thought process there. Eric mentioned earlier he thinks that a difference maker really could be Shane Vereen as well, if you're considering offensive backfield, because of the fact that he hadn't been around for 8 weeks after breaking his wrist. And here's a guy that opens up a completely new option in terms of a target in the passing game for Tom Brady. But if Shane Vereen, or excuse me, if Stephen Ridley can get back to being Ridley, the Ridley that we saw earlier this year before he kind of bounced around, lost the ball, was punished, whatever you want to call it, didn't get the reps that a lot of us thought he should have gotten. If he gets those normal reps and becomes that 1,000-yard rusher, which he was a year ago, yeah, I absolutely see that being a difference for the Patriots.
Right, yeah. And one question, how does waivers work? What exactly is the process for that? Like,
there's
waivers, like with Ed Reed and everything?
Sure.
They got a clear waiver.
Yeah, we'll take you through it, Eric. What do you think?
Yeah, there's this, formal paperwork that his previous team sends to the league saying
we're releasing him.
His contract is terminated with our club. At this point in the season, every player that goes through that is subject to the waiver wire, which means it's kind of like the draft. The team with the worst record has the first pick, the team with the best record has the last pick, and it starts at the top with the worst team with the worst record. They get their first chance to claim the player as their own. Instead of just sending the, like free agency where you can just go out and say, hey, I'm going to try to sign with this team or that team. You don't have a choice at this point when you're on the waiver wire. Whatever team claims you is where you have to go.
It's where you have to go.
Right, and it goes in order. Oh. It goes in order. So it starts at the top.
Team with the worst record, and then the next worst, and then the next worst.
And then they, if they want the player, they inform the league, or I guess if they don't want the player, they'll say pass, or they'll say, we'll claim him.
Yeah.
Right. Now, they go through the next, then they go to the next team on the list, and the next, and so forth, until either a team claims him off waivers, or he clears waivers, meaning he goes through all 32 teams, and everyone says, nope, we'll pass. At that point, he becomes a free agent,
and he can sign with whoever he wants.
Okay, now, what are our chances? Because, obviously, we're not in the front of the line.
No, we're near the back of the line.
Based on the one loss records as of today, the Patriots would probably be, 29th?
High 20s, yeah.
Yeah, 28th or 29th.
Do you see any team that will probably get them before us?
It's hard to say.
Real conjecture. We've heard the rumors that Baltimore wanted him back. The Dallas Cowboys were thinking about him. They both have apparently since decided to pass. I could see the Jets maybe possibly taking a gander at him, only just to keep him out of New England's hands, and they would get a crack at him before the Patriots would because their record's not as good. So I could see a divisional opponent maybe taking a shot. I could see Denver or Kansas City taking a shot, again, to keep him away from New England more than anything else.
Now, money-wise, do you think, because obviously he was making a decent amount over there in Houston.
Yep.
So I'm just thinking, how much would he, will be asking for? Does that have anything to do with waivers?
No.
There's a prorated portion of the salary based on how much time is left in the year that the Patriots would be up for, that they would have to pay. And then there's a percentage of, veteran minimum or something like that, again, prorated, I think?
Yeah, right. If he clears waivers.
If he clears waivers.
Right. If the team picked him up, I believe they would have to
pick up his salary as well,
which is why most likely he's going to clear waivers.
Clear waivers and then negotiate a deal.
Yeah, but it would probably amount to something like, as we talked about earlier, somewhere in the $60,000 per game range.
Yeah, I think it was like 62.5 was the figure
I
saw.
Yeah.
So based on what he made and what the prorated portion of a veteran minimum, it would cost the Patriots under $500,000 this year to bring Ed Reed in for the last 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Less than $100,000 a week.
Yeah, that's not bad. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, and money wouldn't be a factor.
No,
I don't think.
No, money would not be a factor. If you're the Patriots, you have to consider two things. Number one, is he going to help your team? Obviously, that's number one. But number two, if you don't claim him at say 28 or 29, wherever your slot falls, what are the chances that one of the two or three teams behind you does claim him? Because wouldn't you feel silly if you pass on him and then one of your competitors takes him before he slides through free agency? So that's the other consideration here.
Right. That doesn't make any sense. They no. Just get him. He'd be a very key element in our defense, helping us, you know, in the playoffs.
You know, they may make, you could certainly see the Patriots making a fundamental decision to say, look, if he falls through to us, we'll take him. If somebody wants him at his number, well, then Godspeed, you know, and let him go.
And once someone do claim him, we can't challenge that, can we? Like,
no.
Put off
no.
Maybe more
no.
money.
No, the waiver process was put in place.
Waivers like the
draft. As a system of parity in the NFL. Right. And that's P-A-R-I-T-Y, okay?
Right.
A system of parity in the league where everybody has an equal shot at the new meat on the market.
Right. It's like the NFL draft.
Yes.
A team drafts a player, you can't go after him.
Nope. That's it. He becomes your property if you claim him.
Yep.
And does this waiver thing work, you know, can it work during the beginning of the season, or is this all season that it has to go for every player?
It applies before the trade deadline to non-vested veterans,
yes.
I believe.
Okay.
Now that it's past the trade deadline,
it applies to every player. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you all.
No problem.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Good stuff, Andrew. Appreciate that. And frankly, it's good that we can clarify that, because when this is a story nationwide, and certainly the Patriots are probably, you know, right in the middle of it here, we should clarify what exactly qualifies the waiver wire and how do you get a player through waivers, and, you know, does he have to go all the way through waivers, or do you wait for him to pass through and then pick him up, or do you make a claim on him? And then if you make a claim on him, then you're responsible for, you know, what's left of his salary that the Texans have not paid. So that's basically how it works. All right, since it's 5 minutes past the hour here, Mr. Collins, if you will.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I actually don't smoke, John. I'm allergic to smoke.
I have actually, you know, puffed on a corn cob pipe before.
You have?
Yes, I have. I've also
puffed on wearing an Argyle sweater today, actually.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
It's an Argyle design.
It's got an Argyle design on it. Yeah, absolutely.
It's all black, but I can see the stitching. It's an Argyle pattern.
Yeah, it's an Argyle pattern. That's correct. A little classy, right? Wasn't bought
You're
by
wearing
me.
Breeches, thankfully.
I am wearing breeches, yes.
Getting a little too big for them, maybe.
Ooh! What brought that up? Dang.
I was trying to continue the theme.
Okay.
I didn't really mean it.
Okay. I like to have a nice stogie every once in a while.
It's funny because he's fat.
By the way, thank Robin again for the,
yes, for the cranberry bread. Yes,
yum,
straight
yum.
From my backyard bog.
Yum, yum,
yes.
Give me some.
Yeah, baby.
Now, do you wade in those bogs?
I'm just going to stop.
All right, the orchestra's getting bored.
The orchestra's like, okay.
Okay, today's word.
Yes.
You ready? Appurtenances.
Appurtenances.
Or singular.
Appurtenances.
Appurtenance.
Appurtenance.
Yes.
Okay. Is that like appurtenance in a pear tree?
Nah, well done.
Thank you very much.
You owed me one.
Thank you.
A double P U R T E N A N C.
U R T A N A. Okay. Appurtenance.
Appurtenance. Yes.
So double P U R. That's how it goes.
Right.
All right.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
That would be an accessory or some other item that is normally associated with a particular thing, place, activity. So I'm trying to think of an example. Like,
yes, please do give us an example.
Fine hotels and hot towels are some of the appurtenances that we get traveling with an NFL team.
Right. So, and when you're about ready to land, and the flight attendant comes to you and says, "Would you like a hot towel?"
That
would be
absolutely.
That would be an appurtenance.
An appurtenance of traveling with an NFL club.
Oh, okay, I like it. Okay, now that makes sense. Yeah. See, I always like to, you know, dumb it down. So.
Fine hotels, police escorts.
Those would be the appurtenances of the of the job.
Of the job, appurtenances of traveling with an NFL team. Yes.
Well, week after next, an appurtenance of my job will be I'll be spending the entire week in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands.
Oh, for a little college basketball tourney?
Yeah, a little preseason college basketball tournament.
Uh huh.
Yeah, how about that.
I envy you.
Yeah. Well.
Weather going to be nice and warm down there?
When is the weather not nice and warm in Charlotte Amalie?
Good point.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know. I'm sorry.
What's the tournament?
It's the Paradise Jam.
Paradise?
It's called the Paradise Jam.
Peanut butter and jam.
One of Andy's favorites. I understand that. Yeah, Paradise Jam. So that'll be an appurtenance of the job.
Yeah.
Week after next.
Getting to enjoy the sunny locale.
Yes, the sunny locale and get paid to do so. That's certainly an appurtenance of the job.
There you go.
Yeah. So, all
right.
Did
you know that word?
I did not know that. I know some similar words to it, mm-hmm. but I did not know that one in particular.
Why don't you drop that to the young men on the plane on the way down and see if they know it?
What, appurtenance?
The players.
Oh, and let them know, and
be
say,
like, you don't know what an appurtenance this is to being a college basketball player.
That's true.
See how that goes
they
over.
You could do that. And they'll look at me like,
not one of
they'll look at
them
me like, you know, who's the old bleep?
I see he's trying to fit in and be cool, so they'll take him out to the bars at night.
No. I'm done by 10 o'clock. Promise. Done by 10 o'clock. Back out again at 11. That's it. All right, E.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
All right. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. Squeeze a timeout in here. Again, the thought process today. Difference makers on this football team for the remaining 7 weeks of this season. Somebody that may not have yet made a difference. Somebody that has already made a difference and that you know has got to figure prominently, significantly in the Patriots stretch run over these last 7 regular season games. Patriots certainly right now have the 2 spot locked up to themselves as long as they don't mess it up. Could they also make a run at number 1 and have the bye all the way through the playoffs should they get that far? This is kind of where we're going with this. Somebody who could be a difference maker on either side of the ball. Web radio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500 at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Ready, set, and go.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
And we're rolling along in the playbook here for a Wednesday. Don't forget, tomorrow and Thursday, it'll be Prediction Thursday, and we can get back to the business of actually picking games, since it seems like, doesn't it seem like it's been longer than just a regular week off? Bye weeks always stink. I mean, they just, they're really hard. Although, I will tell you this. I enjoyed watching the games last Sunday. Just sitting at home, sitting in my den, relaxing. Had them up the big screen. Had the big crock pot of meatballs cooking, which was awesome. Put a little steak on the grill. We live right during football season in my house. That's very, very true. And we just sat and we watched football all day. It was awesome. I never get a chance to do that because I'm usually working or I'm usually covering or doing something like that. So I really appreciate that.
I would have liked to have been next to you, John.
Why?
I was on top of a mountain instead.
Oh, that's right. You did the hiking thing with the
I bit the bullet.
Yeah, you did.
Took one for the team.
You did. Now, are you one of those guys who likes to say you went up on Mount Washington?
No, not really. I mean, I like the outdoors and I like hiking. I love to fish. I love to be outside. But, you know as well as I do, John, that during this time of year, time off is precious. Say the middle of August through Christmas, depending on how deep the playoff run is, time is precious.
No question.
So, one of the few kind of drawbacks to our gig, you and I, is that we don't get the opportunity to just be a fan and sit on your couch and watch football on Sundays. And that's something I miss.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been something I would have liked to have done. But I had a great time, and I got to watch the Sunday night game, and, you know, it is what it is. But I would have liked to have been there eating some crock pot with you.
Well, you know, one of these days, if you're lucky, Kevin, and Robin feels like cooking, Although she did cook for you again today.
Yeah, amazing.
She did. So it's,
I'll have to thank her. Maybe I'll get a chance to thank her in person.
One of these days. One of these days. By the way, just in case you ever wondered what it was really like from my vantage point at the stadium, Kevin posted a photo up on Facebook that he put up there right before the show started. This was a video frame or video freeze from Rachel Amaralian?
Something like that. She put it up, and it caught my eye, and I was like, oh, that's John.
Yeah. She did it. She was kind enough. She does the Totally Patriots show that airs on the Patriots Football Network and locally here on WBZ in Boston. And they did a feature on, you know, basically following me around on game day and, you know, about the voice inside the stadium and the familiarity of it and all that kind of stuff. And so they wanted to know what I did. And so there's a shot of me sitting at my perch in the press box from my vantage point, which is really about the 37.5-yard line when you go straight across the field. The color just pops out like that's an unbelievable photo, you know, taken from a video still. So anyway,
yeah,
if you want to
really
see,
caught my eye.
Yeah, the color does pop. So if you want to know what my vantage point is, then you go on Facebook and you can have a look, and it's right there. Hey, on Twitter at JR Broadcaster, Lyle says, "I think Aaron Dobson developing into more of a viable and reliable deep threat as a single difference maker." He's the second person to mention Aaron Dobson today in terms of a difference maker for this team over the course of the last 7 weeks. You know, I can certainly understand that and where you would probably be coming from, because we've wanted him. As a fan, you want him to break out, and it looks like he's had his chances to do that, yet he's dropped a lot of those. So maybe if he doesn't have those drops in the second half of the season, that maybe he can be that difference maker. I can understand that. Kyle on Twitter also says Brady is the difference maker. Obvious, maybe, but he has not played well this season. Can't blame the weapons every time. He also goes on to say, just look at other teams with injuries that still have production on offense. It starts and ends with the quarterback. You know, frankly, Kyle, you make a very good point, and I'm a little surprised you are the first person to say Tom Brady that I've actually gotten to here, because frankly, I kind of agree with that one on offense. I already picked Aqib Talib as my number one difference maker on this team for the final 7 weeks. But on offense, I'd have to say Brady's as good a choice as any. And the reason for that is because you're exactly right, Kyle. He hasn't played well. Now, you can blame some of that on the fact that he's had the inexperienced targets, that he has had an offensive line that has not played up to its potential, that he's had some running back issues as well with either fumbles or injuries or what have you. So there hadn't been a whole lot of consistency around him on offense. But when you look at, you know, the percentage, and you look at, you know, the happy feet, and you look at the throws into the ground or behind receivers or over the top of receivers that we've seen each and every week, you know, it's not all drops here that are leading to only a 56-57% completion percentage. It's not all drops. Some of that's definitely on Brady, which is why we got in the whole thing about a month ago about me saying maybe we're beginning to see the beginning of the end for a future Hall of Famer, and I got smashed. I got smashed for it. It's all right. Pick myself up. Stand back up again. You know, happens all the time in this biz. But, I'm not necessarily saying I told you so either. Look, nobody wants Tom Brady to be more successful than me. Successful team makes job easier on all of us around here. And as I've opined many, many times, I want Brady to play until he's 40. As long as he can continue to produce. My whole question was, I just don't think that they surrounded him with the right people for him to be able to produce this year. And that I really believe that this team was harmed way deeper than they even thought imaginable by the whole Aaron Hernandez fiasco last summer. And they just, everything was predicated around the two tight end offense, and they just did not or could not adjust enough in time for this year. Just some thoughts. So, I think Brady's probably as good a selection on the offensive side of the ball as any. And then Nick says, John, Ed Reed and Devin McCourty working together and a healthy Gregory, that sounds great. Also, difference maker, I'd say Dobson lately. There's another vote for Aaron Dobson. All right, so good. All that stuff coming in. Twitter handle, at JR Broadcaster. Thank you for the new tweet and the new follows. Let's get to some We get to some emails here. Phone line is open, 855-PATS-500. If you want to contribute, this one comes from Christina, who is the organizer of the Triangle Patriots fans in Raleigh, North Carolina. She says, I wanted to extend an invitation to anyone within the radio crew that might be coming to the Monday night game in Charlotte to join our big tailgate party before the game. We'll be in preferred parking lot 510 at 510 S or South College Street, I think. 510 South College Street, just two blocks from the stadium, starting at 4:30. We got about 70 folks that will be playing cornhole, grilling, tossing the football, and more. And also, if you guys still do the call-ins for the pregame tailgate show, I'd love to check in with the guys again while we're partying down outside the stadium. Let me know if you'll be able to come out or have us.
Yeah, that sounds definitely call in the
definitely call in the pregame social. Yes.
Yeah, and if you can send in some pictures of the crew to webradiopatriots.com, we'll get them up on the team's Facebook page.
See, there you go, Christina. We'll take care of that route. So plan on calling in for the pregame social that Monday night. And then we'll make sure that I'm not sure which guys are going down to Carolina. Eric and
Fred.
And Fred are going. All right, well, we'll make sure that Big E knows that he's invited to the tailgate at parking lot, preferred parking lot 510. All right, we'll make sure he's known. See if they can stop by for you. Steve and Killeen says, here's my take on the impact players. Ultimately, it will come down to solid complementary team play. But to break this down, the return of Shane Vereen will help Ridley elevate his game based on the options that will be afforded to Brady. Sopoaga and Tlaib will elevate the play of the entire defense. Gronk has already shown how his return impacts both the run and the passing game. If the team is able to take the field after the bye week and able to stay healthy and gels as expected, then this will be a Patriots team Pats Nation dreamed of. Thanks for the comment, Steve. One of the things that Eric and I talked about today in the opening hour of the program is that this team really won't have an opportunity now, unfortunately, to be the team that we all hoped or thought it could be, based in large part due to the injuries. Especially on the defensive side of the ball. You're missing, I mean, can you imagine what this team would be like right now if you had Wilfork, you still had Mayo, and you still had Kelly on the defensive side, and now you're getting all of the offensive weapons back at Brady's disposal? What would this team be like? First of all, I would argue that this team would probably be 8-1. I don't know that they'd be 7-2. I think they'd probably find a way to win I think they'd probably find a way to win either one of the two losses. You know, between the Bengals and the Jets, they win one of those. My guess would be the Jets over the Bengals. The Bengals is just one of those. That was a stinker. Even though they were still close enough to win it. But the Jets was a game I don't think anybody feels like they should have lost. And they had already lost Wilfork and Mayo by that time. So I just, you know, those guys are healthier. Maybe they find a way somehow to win that game. Just a thought. So this team is probably 8-1 and loaded for bear. And probably on its way. They're not far off from that. They're not far off from that. And that should be excite you a little bit if you're a Patriot fan. Mark from Saskatchewan. John, love listening to the show. My buddy is a Giants fan. He hates working with me because he has to listen to 4 hours of Patriot talk. But one day he'll learn to cheer for the right team. That being said, my difference maker to me on D would be Dennard. We know Tlaib is solid when healthy. But if he can get solid play out of Dennard down the stretch and into the playoffs, along with the offense rolling, like I said, they would before the Steelers game. Now, it's still early, but since halftime of the Dolphins game, they have rolled. And they just keep getting healthier. And we really will be tough to beat no matter who they are playing. That's actually a pretty good point, Mark. Since it's halftime of the Dolphins game, they have definitely rolled. 24 points in that half of football and then put 55 up in the next two halves against Pittsburgh. So, let's see, by my ad, that's 79 points in six quarters of football. I think that's pretty fair. Here's Harley in North Carolina. Harley, you're in the playbook.
Hey, sir, how you doing?
Great, how's it going today?
Well, all right, just surrounded by all these Panthers fans down here.
Good. Well, you know, make sure you stand out proudly.
Yeah, I've been trying to. Catching a lot this week.
I'll bet. So, I mean, I'm assuming then the Panther fans really, really feel good about this, and they probably should.
Yeah, they do. And they've been rubbing that in my face a lot this week.
That's all right. Just lay low, brother. Lay low, and then when all is said and done, then you hopefully can have the last laugh.
Yes, sir. But I wanted to comment on the who I think can make a difference this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be. I think that's going to be majorly or not O-line. I think that's where we've been lacking a lot this year, and that's I think that's where we need to show up a little bit better at.
You know, that's a great point. That's one of our biggest criticisms. It's one of our biggest nitpicks every Tuesday here in the playbook has been the play of the offensive line. You know, this is an offensive line that basically came back intact from last year. Now, granted, they've lost Vollmer, you know, to a season-ending injury this year, but, you know, Marcus Cannon is, you know, not the green rookie that he was a year ago. And Cannon, by all rights and reasons, you know, he was a tackle in college anyway, even though he might be more tailor-made for an inside line position at guard. They do like him at tackle because that's where he played in college at TCU. So, he seems to have done okay, but there's been some inconsistent play on the interior. And by that, I mean center and guard slots more than anything else. The tackles really haven't been a huge problem. And when you don't have to mention an offensive lineman, that's when you know they're probably doing a good job. Sorry to say that, but that's pretty much the way it is with a lineman. You're only going to notice them when they screw up, right? So in that regard, yeah, I think some more consistent play. I think keeping Brady cleaner, keeping him off the turf, and especially against the Panthers on Monday night. They've got to keep Brady off the turf because the Carolina is one of the few teams in the NFL that can rush four and make a difference by rushing four. And we've seen the Patriots play, and I made this mention a couple of times yesterday. The Patriots have played two teams that are exactly like that already this year. They happen to be 0-2 against those two teams in Cincinnati and New York. So, yes, the offensive line, if they finally come back into, you know, some kind of shape that we saw them a year or two ago, you know, and play up to their potential, I agree, Harley. Yep, they certainly can be a difference maker.
All right, thank you, sir. I just want to say I listen to y'all every day and really enjoy your show.
Thank you very much.
Hope y'all have a great day.
Thanks, you too. I hope you keep it coming. All right, Harley in North Carolina. Let me see if I've got a couple of other emails that I want to share here before we sneak in another break. Mo in Vienna, Austria? Really?
You're big in Austria.
Wow. Is that the first one we've ever gotten from Austria? No, we've gotten to Austria
Well,
before.
Since I've been here, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone all through Europe. We've hit, you know, Asia. We've done South America. Have we touched all six continents now? The only one we're missing now is Antarctica?
Probably.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
We've got to get somebody in igloo up there listening, you know?
I don't think they do igloos in Antarctica. I think that would be Alaska.
Okay.
And that would be the North American continent, which I think we have handled already.
Oh, Antarctica's south. I forgot about that.
Right. Directionally challenged, aren't you?
Whatever.
Well, they've got military bases and they've got you know scientific bases on Antarctica.
Down there.
So I'm sure somebody's got the internet that might be a pro football fan, right?
Has to be.
And if they could stream this during the day in Antarctica, does time stand still at the bottom of the world?
We could ask that question. Are they upside down?
Yeah.
You know,
really? What would that be like being upside down? Yeah.
Do they walk on the ceiling?
Aren't they afraid of falling into the sky?
I don't know. These are all good questions we could ask.
We need answers! Damn it, we need answers! If anybody's listening in Antarctica, I believe you now officially are the only continent that we have not heard from here in the playbook. Mo in Vienna says, my vote is for the O-line. Hey, there you go, Harley. You just got another helper here. My vote is for the O-line, for I have to name one person, and that's Scarnecchia. If it's a player, it's Mankins. If the line can't protect Brady, as in Cincinnati or the Jets, he can't get anything going. Well, that will be the key on Monday, I think. That's a good email, Mo. I think you're spot on with your thought process. Yep. The difference maker certainly could be the offensive line. Ross in Canada. I know you're looking for a Patriots player as the difference maker, but I'm going to think outside the box. Justin Houston, outside linebacker on Kansas City, is a potentially huge difference maker in the Patriots season with Manning already wounded. He is a player that could dramatically alter our Sunday night matchup the following week. That's certainly a different approach to the question that we asked today. Ross, I'll bet your boss just loves you. Either that or he thinks that you're a real pain in the ass, one or the other. Right? Because you think outside the box like that. He says, now, if I was to name a Patriots player, I'm going to go with Ninkovich. He's come up big in the past in key situations, and we need that to continue, especially with all the injuries piling up on the defensive side of the ball. Good email, Ross. Very, very good. That's enjoyable. I like that stuff. Let me get one more in here. This is, Pawan. Yeah, there we go. That's how we pronounce it. And thank you. I thought it was Pawan, but it's Pawan. Pawan in Secaucus, New Jersey. Hello, Pawan. The difference makers for the team for the next seven games. He says, defense, Aqib Talib. Defense looks completely different when he is on the field. I totally concur, and that's why he was my pick as the overall difference maker for this team, and we talked about that in the opening hour. Offense, he says, Tom Brady. He should definitely play at a higher level, as New England's offense is the best when he is at his best. Okay. Pawan, you are the brother from another mother today. By the way, he says, regarding your question yesterday, Ed Reed plays free safety. If the Pats get him, it will not affect the play of Devin McCourty. Or will it not? Will it not affect the play of Devin McCourty? Because he is really playing at a Pro Bowl level this season. Well, it could. But I think what they end up doing is they probably put one or the other over at strong safety. There's only a little bit of tweaking in terms of what their duties would be in the defensive backfield, whether playing free safety as opposed to a strong safety. So I don't think that would be a huge adjustment for either one of the players, depending upon if they go get him. And right now we're 26 minutes away from waivers passing, and we'll see if he clears waivers from all 32 teams. And if he does, will the Patriots step up and try to make a deal? So that is still to come today. Or do the Patriots step up and make a choice? Do they step up and decide to claim him off of waivers? That would cost him more money. In fact, as they're probably going through it right about now, the Patriots are probably getting ready to come up as teams are saying pass, 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 pass. Do the Patriots pass as well? Maybe we'll know more. Coming up inside the playbook right here on Patriots.com radio, 855-PATS-500. That's the number. Web radio at Patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
John Rook on the playbook, or in the playbook, whichever you prefer, for a little while longer. We have Tom Brady coming up in just a little bit that will play some of his news conference for you to wrap up our show. We don't really get a chance to do this all that often, and we wanted to hear from Brady this week. So he's going to come up in just a couple of moments here inside the playbook. In the meantime, Mary Beth sends this on Facebook. She says, playmakers, Chandler Jones and Chris Jones, sack, sacks, sacks, as far as difference makers for the final 7 weeks. Chandler Jones and Chris Jones, no relation, of course. But I certainly think that, yeah, they can be difference makers, provided they continue to bring the heat. If they're bringing heat, then the Patriots should be in pretty good shape. It's going to take that, I think, overall. Let's see now. As far as the emails are concerned, we have Josh in Florida who says, offensive third down completions wins games. Offensive third down. Okay. Pat struggled in that area with the losses in the close games. McDaniels is the vital piece to accomplishing this. It's the coach's job to call the play that allows the player to succeed. P.S. Like Bill says, it starts with the coaching. Josh, that's a great, that's really, that's well thought out. And that's kind of along the lines of what I was saying when I opened up the subject matter today, because quite frankly, I do think that one of the coaches or several of the coaches can be difference makers for this team over the last 7 weeks. One of the nitpicks that we have had pretty commonly on Tuesdays throughout the course of the year has been play calling. And some of us have openly questioned, what the heck was that all about? And why would you call this when this was the situation? You got a third and two, and you're trying to throw the ball deep up the sideline? I mean, come on, really? Yeah, play calling. So, yeah, I think that if you are able to play call, design the offense, structure things, knowing that you have some strength and knowing that you have more of your bullets left in the holster, so to speak, then you got a chance to make a difference. Perhaps that will help. I sure hope it does, but I think it's a good point. Dave in Lancaster, California says very simply, go Patriots, Jets suck. Well, thank you, Dave, for thank you for filling us in on that. I guess we needed to know that. Like there was any doubt, maybe? I don't know. Chris in Boston says it's the first time I've emailing your show. I've emailed PFW this question. Just want to get your opinion on the question. Was Aaron Hernandez a bad draft pick? Now, I realize he was a psychopath, but are the Patriots really at fault for not being able to see that? I mean, some really dumb national guys say we should have known that he could go on to be a murderer because of his gang connection, whispers coming out. This is as lazy a hindsight analysis as you can give. I remember that 2010 draft and most of the prospects and the biggest concern of Hernandez and why he fell in the draft wasn't the vague gang connections he had. At the top of his concerns or scouting reports were marijuana use, short fuse, troubled past, and having questionable friends. I think you just touched on it right there. Having questionable friends, Chris. He says, tell me who looks at that and thinks murder. That scouting report probably applies to at least 10% of the league. They scouted him. They were right on his ability. He could play at a high level. He was a hard worker, a great fit in the scheme, and he wasn't having constant run-ins with the law. I mean, in hindsight, yes, the Patriots shouldn't have drafted him, but if the exact same situation happened this upcoming draft with a very talented tight end who's a hard worker and who's never been arrested, falls because of marijuana use and a troubled past, do you not pull the trigger because he could go on to be a serial killer in year four? You know, Chris, you bring up an interesting point. You know, and we have kind of danced around about this over the course of the season since we began back in September. No, I don't think the Patriots made a bad draft pick. It's turned out to be unfortunate just because of what has transpired. But was it a bad draft pick? No, I think what they were doing is looking for value, and they were realizing that, you know, based on some of the faults that he apparently had, which they had also done, you know, their scouting and homework on, they saw him continuing to drop in the draft, and you know how the Patriots value grabbing value. And they saw that this was a value opportunity that was simply too good to pass up. That's why they took him. Paid off for 3 years. They couldn't keep him out of trouble any longer than that. It's a shame. There are a lot of people who are affected here. Obviously, your thoughts and your prayers go to the affected families. But strictly in a football sense, was that a bad draft pick? I'd say no, because look at how the Patriots have handled it in the aftermath. You know, you don't see the three-ring circus going on around here that you have going on down in Miami right now with the whole Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin thing. That's because you have strong people at the top, and you have strong people managing the program, and you have relatively strong leadership in the locker room. Sometimes it's not as demonstrative or vociferous or vocal as we might like it to be, but it still tells me that there's still some leadership in the locker room that people are paying attention to. And they all take their cues from the top. So if they're taking their cues from the top, how could it be a bad pick? I mean, you don't like the fact that it brought negative publicity upon, you know, the team, the organization, the town of Foxborough. You don't like any of the negative stuff. You don't like what happened. Nobody does. It's ridiculous to even think that. But if you try to put that away and you look at it strictly from a football perspective, no, I don't think it was a bad pick. I think the Patriots did their homework. I think they were just burned because, as you accurately pointed out, fact of the matter is that nowhere in his background check did it say potential serial murderer. Didn't say that. So I don't know. Maybe I'll get hammered for that, but I don't think so. I mean, I'm trying to separate the two. It's very difficult to do, but you know, they saw value, and as he plummeted, or as people started writing him off because they didn't want to take a chance on a guy with a questionable background, the Patriots look at that as a value opportunity. And we know that's how this franchise's success has been built since Bill Belichick has been here. Going after value opportunity. Finding the lower priced free agents and finding the veteran players who might be there with a little chip on their shoulder and bringing them in and saying, here's your opportunity to win. And they've been able to do that. And that's how this team has been as successful as it has been over almost the last decade and a half. A longer stretch than anybody else in the NFL. There is a theory, there is a model, there is a formula that this franchise, this team follows. It doesn't work all the time, but it has largely stayed true to them and dealt them success. I'd say 5 Super Bowl appearances, you know, in the previous 13 years would back that up. And you're looking for another one now, and you're 7-2, and you're in position to be an absolute contender in the AFC again, even in a year where you've already been decimated by injuries like several others in the league have been this year. But you are 7-2, and you are in position to win your division again, and you are in a position to play for a bye and have home field advantage and get back to the bowl again, which is the ultimate goal, in spite of everything that has happened negatively so far this year. You're still in position. Why? Because you stay true to your formula. Nothing wrong with that. Hope that answers your question. All right. There you go, Chris. All right, let's take some time now to let you listen in to... Oh, hold on. Here we go. Oh, this is just going to be decided. Sign this part of his contract. Should it be delayed? What? Oh, I see. I just called in. I think we decided to read this sign. Read part of his contract should be to lay out Wes Welker if he chances it gets next week. Well, nothing like being vindictive, right, Harley? Nothing like being vindictive at all. No, I think that makes sure. That's actually a good point. You know, Welker will be going over the middle against the Patriots in another week. I'm sure somebody's going to send him a message. Somebody will send him a message. I don't know if that'll necessarily be in a negative sense, but somebody will send him a message, without a doubt. All right, we're going to wrap up today's show by letting you listen to the captain himself, your quarterback, Tom Brady. Tomorrow in the playbook, Russell Baxter, our pro football guru, he will join us. E-Scout will be back, and we get into more specifics on the Carolina Panthers, like we did yesterday with broadcaster and writer. We'll get into the Panthers bits again tomorrow here in the playbook. Here now is Tom Brady.
A guy back this week in Shane Green. Eligible to play against. What does someone like Shane bring to the field that maybe another back or another offensive option that you guys have that he has that someone else doesn't?
Well, he's a very dependable, consistent player. So, you know, the more of those guys you have on your team, the better you are. So he's really been that and played a really important role for us the last few years. So, you know, whenever he's back out there, whether it's this week, next week, the following week, you know, we'll be excited to have him. But you know, those things are kind of out of my control. But he's a really good player for us.
Tom, can you just talk about the Carolina defense and what they bring to the table? They're red hot right now.
Yeah, they won 5 straight. They're great team defense. I mean, everything. They got every stat, every category. You know, third down, red area, sacks. And they turn it over. So they got it all. I mean, they're one of the best defenses in the league. So we have to play really well. I think our execution has to be at its best, and it'll be fun. I mean, it's Monday night. You know, it's getting later in the year. These games are more and more important, and, you know, we'll see what we can do.
Hey, Tom, you haven't played these guys in this team in, like, 4 years. You can watch all the tape you want, but it's really a situation where until you get out there against the players that you see to really be able to judge what they do and what their athletic ability is, does it take sort of on-the-field time to get used to it before you decide to tape?
Well, you try to anticipate, you know, the speed and so forth, their playmaking ability, and they got a lot of really good players, so you do the best you can to simulate that in practice. But they're good for a reason, because the players make the plays when they need to make them. And So the coach has a lot of confidence in them, as they should. I mean, they played a great game last week against San Francisco and really, you know, stopped the 49ers offense. They've stopped a lot of offenses this year. So, you know, we got to put together a game plan and got to go out there and try to execute it. But it has to be a really, you know, solid game plan, and we have to go out and have a great solid night of execution. You just can't give them plays. I mean, they false starts, you know, missed opportunities, you know, just needless things to happen and really kill you against this team. They really thrive on those things.
How much can you build off of the, I mean, Uzi has been up and down really through September and October. How much can you build off of what you guys did in the last game against Pittsburgh?
Well, it's a different week for us, so I mean, it's a different team matchup. Everything's different, so you know, this week's an entirely different thing, and we got to bring the same approach. So they challenge you in different ways, different than probably any team we faced all year. So we have to really step up and meet the challenge.
Are there things that you guys did well against Pittsburgh, though, that maybe previously you'd struggled with that, I don't know, like you felt like maybe that particular day was a major step forward for you guys, and maybe there are things, not as far as, you know, who you're facing, but just, you know, within what you guys do that you can really build on?
Well, we struggled, you know, at different times, different reasons and different things and third down, red area, things like that. So, you know, we're trying to make improvements in all those areas. I mean, this isn't a game where you can really not be good in those areas. You know, you can't turn it over. You can't have negative plays. You got to, you know, everything that we talk about, keys to winning the game. And they lead the league in time possession. They, you know, second in scoring defense. So there's no shortcuts. It's just us going out and executing the plays that are there. There's really great execution that we need to have, and I don't think there's anything that happened in September that can influence this game or last week for that matter. It's really about this week and what we end up doing on Monday night.
In what way do they challenge you differently than other defenses you face today?
Well, they have different strengths than, you know, the other teams that we face. So, you know, they got a very good team. They rush the quarterback. I mean, that tandem that they had last year is the same group they had this year that led, you know, the league and, you know, sacks from those two positions, Hardy and Johnson. And then Addison's a great rusher. They got a great front. I mean, they rotate all these guys in. They can all rush quarterback. And they're, you know, they got linebackers who can tackle. Keekly is, you know, great young player and makes tackles everywhere. And if you miss a throw, it's usually an interception. So, you know, you just have to, you know the challenge, know what it takes. 60 minutes of great football. I mean, you're not going to just go in there and put together 30 good minutes and think you're going to win. So we got to play well all night.
Tom, I understand you get jacked for every game, but does the fact that the Panthers have won whatever it is, 4 or 5 straight, and are kind of like the buzz of everyone, does that get you extra juiced at all?
Well, Monday Night Football is you know, we don't have many of those. This is our only one this year, so it'll be a fun night. It'll be a great atmosphere down there for football. So they're going to be fired up. We're fired up. That's why it should be. It's football in November. And one of the best teams in the NFC playing right now. They won 5 straight. They're playing well on offense, playing well on defense. They got a good special team. So, you know, we feel like we got a pretty good team. So we'll see how it turns out.
What jumps out for you about Keekly, and is there a comparison to be made across the league to another linebacker out there?
He's a really solid player. He's got great instincts. So when you have that type of athleticism that he has, and then as well as the instincts, and not only in the run game but the pass game, he just really goes sideline to sideline, takes on blocks. But he just has a knack for knowing where the ball is going to be, and that's hard to teach. I mean, I played guys that had that same knack at linebacker. That are, you know, everyone's different players. Everyone has different strengths and weaknesses. But when guys are around the ball, making tackles, making tip passes, and covering guys, and they're never out of the play. They're never fooled. So, you know, there's guys you play against like Ed Reed, you know, who are great players, and, you know, Ray Lewis, Zach Thomas, guys that I've had a chance to play against that have, you know, just a knack for the ball, and he's got a great knack for the football. That's a great trait for a defensive player.
Speaking of which, actually, Ed Reed was released by the Texans a few minutes ago. Given how much respect you have for him, could you see yourself maybe lobbying your bosses to bring it in and make them a Patriot?
These things are so far out of my control. I mean, I got a lot of other things, you know, to worry about. But, you know, Coach always makes those decisions.
To something you said a couple minutes ago, 13 years in the NFL, Monday Night Football still excites you in and of itself?
Sure, yeah, no question. It's a fun, you know, they, now with Thursday night football and their Saturday night football, and, you know, but Monday night football is always pretty cool. And, you, especially when you play a really good team on Monday Night Football. I mean, it's a fun night. It's November. It's, you know, you feel the weather's changing out there. So this is when the most important games are, is, you know, you want to be playing in the biggest moments. All right. Thank you, guys.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.